Money Talk. This is Akashwani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on UPI's rise as world's largest real-time payment system. The participants are Udayan Ray, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
India's Unified Payments Interface, UPI, has revolutionized the digital payments landscape, both domestically and globally. Recently, it has been recognized as the largest retail real-time payment system in the world by transaction volume, handling nearly half of all such transactions worldwide. Today, we will delve deeper into UPI's journey, its impact, challenges, and the future ahead with our expert, Udayan Ray. A warm welcome to Akashwani, Udayan.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Udayan, can you briefly explain the genesis of UPI and how it was envisioned as a payment platform?
As you would be aware that the government, the Reserve Bank, all the authorities, regulators, they have been looking at financial inclusion. Basically, everything that modern financial system can offer, that should be accessible to everybody. The backbone of that has been, we started with Aadhaar, which is the identity, because identity is very important if you have to access any financial services. So the idea was, India did have the financial system in place, a modern financial system. Now, how do you take that absolutely organized sort of financial system to the masses? Because if they are not going to be participating, then they will not be getting the benefits. And the idea was to do that. And this, as I mentioned, Aadhaar was one of them. Then the idea was, how will that accessibility happen? It had to happen through mobiles. And as we know, the mobiles got penetration happened quite a bit. And that's one of our major success stories. So it had to ride the mobile. So the idea was, through the mobile, can people access financial services? And typically what happens, Rajesh, is payments tends to be the first thing that you access. You know, you pay somebody or you have to receive payments. Now, that is typically on digital or mobile or basically non-paper, non-physical sort of transaction on financial activity. Payments typically tends to be the first one, and therefore this UPI platform got built, and you have mentioned, and then probably you're going to talk about it. So 2016 was the watershed year when this whole platform got started, and it so happened that it went through some interesting phases. This whole COVID crisis happened and the epidemic happened, and because of which people were not particularly keen on person-to-person contact, and so therefore the usage happened. So in terms of adoption, typically what happens, Rajesh, it takes a little bit of time for people to adopt it. But it was fortuitous for our country that something which would have taken a lot more time in terms of adoption, because of some of these momentous sort of developments, we adopted them. But the key part was, we were appreciate UPI. One has to understand one more, what was there, what was happening before that. So India was predominantly, we used to carry a lot of cash in our wallets or in home. What UPI has done is make us use less cash. This obviously, there's a huge number of people who are still using a lot of cash, but the sheer amount of using cash, going to the ATM or going to the bank, taking out money, and then struggling to get the exact change, which used to be something that now we've probably forgotten. If you didn't have the change, you had to struggle. So those things, among, to just start the discussion, those are the some of the things that have changed.
And the ease of doing business is also, I mean, the transactions between two individuals is also one of the reasons why contributed significantly to UPI's rapid adoption in India. UPI has recently been recognized, as I said earlier, the world's largest retail real-time payment system by transaction volume. So what does this milestone mean for India's fintech ecosystem and global standing?
One thing, it is from the producer side or the fintech player side, people who are providing payments, it indicates a robust system which can handle so much of volume. So that is number one. Number two is, it also indicates that this particular is a harbinger. So when you use cash, Rajesh, then the financial system cannot account for a lot of transactions. So, you know, you're actually, it may or may not get recorded.
So with this, you can record.
Yeah, when a record is happening, then what's happening is the formalization of economy. You know, formal finance, because it's reaching out to people, formal finance as in a payment system, where you need to have a bank account and so on and so forth. You cannot now actually when everybody is using it, you can't say that I'm going to use cash and give. If somebody says, why don't you use? The other significance is because it's being done in a low cost. See, if the transactions, let's assume that I have to pay you some money and I have to also in reasonable amount of expense, I'm going to think about it. But such a low cost and instantaneous transfer.
Real time.
Yeah. So I don't have to go and deposit a check in your name. I can go from my account to your account in virtually a split second.
So that's click of a button.
Absolute.
Transaction is
yeah.
Done.
So basically what's happening is there are things and things, whether it's tax payments, whether it's anything to do with, you know, our daily needs, whether it's an insurance payment, what have you, you know, everything now, every form of payment on receive of payment within the country, when you look ahead, there are other countries who could use this model. So more and more people, as Indian economy does, keeps doing well, and there's a lot more demand for Indian services, Indian goods, then what's going to happen is it might become attractive for them to also adopt UPI, because then the payments will become so much quicker. That, of course, may, to a great extent, will be contingent on the fact that they accept rupee payments.
There are like urban users, rural, there are businesses who use it, individuals use it. Now, it has broadened financial inclusion in India. What role has UPI played in transforming the informal sector and small merchants in India?
Yeah, Rajesh, it's unbelievable, isn't it? We use in these rickshaws, bicycle rickshaws and battery-operated rickshaws. It's possibly unthinkable that 10 years back, they would have a UPI code.
Yes.
A panwala or a roadside kiosk, a tea stall would have a code out there. Now, we are seeing all that. And what it does, Rajesh, as you look ahead, and it's only a matter of time, not every small tea stall owner, very, very small informal business sector, they don't have the asset. Where would they get the loans from? The data that's coming in terms of receivables, the money that they're receiving, that is probably going to become the bedrock of some of the credit products that are going to come. I'm talking about working capital loans, things that which payments companies or other fintech companies might lend out to them. And these are small loans which these people would need to grow their business, to maintain their business. So from very, very difficult conditions to access any form of loans or credit, we are now getting into where, based on the data from UPI, especially for the informal guys, you will find new credit or loan products coming in.
Okay. So we talked about UPI's ease of doing business through them, ease of use, and interoperability are often touted as the key drivers of the success of UPI. So how does UPI, since it is so popular and vastly used in transactions, ensure security and fraud prevention, given the enormous volume of transactions that we have?
You're absolutely right. This is one of the challenges that are coming in, because when there's a system that's getting adopted, not everybody would be suave about it. You know, there will be people who are advanced in age and they just about are managing to use it. So they become the gullible people around. So obviously, when somebody is using UPI, there would have to be security features built into it. Banks will be doing it. There would be other inbuilt sort of features. For instance, you get your PIN wrong thrice.
Yeah.
So then you get locked out for a day. So some of those things, you get challenged if some system notices something out of the ordinary. It detects something different in the usage and it challenges the user. So those are some of the usual things that will come in. And of course, awareness campaigns, which the RBI and other people will run, they become also important. But yeah, you're absolutely right. This is going to be one area which providers and users we'll have to keep in mind.
So recently, according to the data placed in Lok Sabha, India recorded 129.3 billion real-time transactions, ahead of Brazil, which was 37.4 billion, Thailand at 20.4 billion, and China at 17.2 billion. And in fact, together, other countries accounted for 52.8 billion transactions. And even our Prime Minister lauded UPI's performance at a roundtable conference in Cyprus some time back. Let's hear what he had to say.
पिछले 10 वर्षों में डिजिटल रिवॉल्यूशन आया है, फाइनेंशियल इंक्लूजन एक मिसाल बना है. यूनिफाइड पेमेंट्स इंटरफेस यानी यूपीआई के माध्यम से आज विश्व का 50% डिजिटल ट्रांजैक्शन भारत में होता है.
Then, how has the UPI affected the banking and payment industries in India? Has it forced legacy players to innovate and change their business model?
Absolutely, Rajesh. When you are going to be making digital payments, then adoption of things like digital banking services, like usage of mobile app, usage of internet banking, you know, if you're on a desktop, you're using that. That adoption has increased. And one is triggering the other. That, in turn, what has done, Rajesh, is that's helped some of these high cost and low value kind of activities for the bank, not for the individual, to be sort of generally pushed to the digital banking space, you know, internet banking. So if you have a query, then you'll be encouraged to go to the app and try to address it, with personalized service being the focus of individuals at a bank branch. So bank branches are increasingly giving personalized service, something which digital platforms, DIY kind of activities can't.
Despite its success, then, what challenges does UPI currently face? It could be regulatory, it could be technological or competition from global payment systems. What do you think are the challenges?
I would imagine, Rajesh, that, you know, the kind of robustness which UPI already has, competition may not be the challenge. The challenge obviously is going to be infrastructure related costs. When you have infrastructure like this, you build it. So far, people have not been paying for the transaction that they're incurring. But when you provide a service like this, there are costs involved, and the question is still what point the cost will not be borne or very little by the end users. In some cases, merchants are picking up some of the tab, etc., etc. So those become the challenge. Then, Rajesh, the other issue is, here you're used to UPI, but what do you do when you're going abroad? So the idea is, will our UPI be able to actually dovetail with, say, the European sort of banking system or some of the others, and what form it could take? So those would be the challenge, where you have just one app and, you know, you land in another land.
But what about the operational outages or cyber risks or user privacy? Can this be tackled?
You will have bad actors, you know, moving ahead and finding loopholes. The idea is, how do you have a system which will allow the user to not get frustrated by numerous things that one has to do to access the service? Now, there are so many technologies that have come in. So there's this whole business of regulation technology or reg tech. You have all kinds of technological concept, blockchain and what have you. So in bits and parts and in other ways, these things will keep playing a role as you come in. And cybersecurity obviously will become more and more important. Compliance is going to come in. Entities like RBI is going to play a role. But the key part, again, Rajesh, is that if you even have some of these regulations, it should not be cumbersome, costly, time-consuming, because the convenience is key, because that's when people adopt it.
Okay. Lastly, with advancement like AI, blockchain, you mentioned, and open banking, how do you see UPI evolving over the next 5 years? Very briefly.
Well, I would say, Rajesh, probably there'll be things like, suppose you have a fixed deposit in a bank and you want to take a loan against it, and, you know, you have an overdraft just in case, you know, you're expecting some money doesn't come in. Can you or I actually make payments from a loan against asset kind of a thing, where I'm trying to fund my business activity? So how well does UPI do it? You know, I have a regular credit card, not a UPI credit card. Can the payment happen through that? If it's a non-rupee sort of a entity, can that happen? So these would be some of the areas that one would be looking at, and they're pretty much there in the periphery. Some of it is already happening, but I would imagine for greater adoption, these things would be required.
Okay. So as the digital financial ecosystem continues to evolve rapidly, UPI's journey will remain central to discussions on financial technology, inclusion, and economic empowerment. Thank you, Dan, for sharing your insights on this transformative platform, and thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you, Rajesh.
You were listening to a discussion on UPI's rise as world's largest real-time payment system. The participants were Udayan Ray, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. Money Talk.